Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the TV Dads Wrestling Podcast. This is episode number 9. As always, this is VexX joined with our host, Johnny Zero.
The people's hero, here at your service.
How are you today, Mr. Johnny Zero?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, VexX?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm so excited. We are away from Texas Stadium. We are back on regular Saturday morning television. It is quite comforting to be back in our own digs.
I am so happy we got out of there. I got out of there.
I got to tell
burned
you,
Johnny, my arm on one of them pipes up in there. I don't know what the hell that was about in the ventilation shaft.
The footage of Johnny Zero crawling in the ventilation shaft and exposing interesting and obscenely insane information in reference to the TV Dads Wrestling Federation was beyond entertaining.
Well, I wouldn't have been able to do it without you, brother. So, and we have extra stuff that may be leaked slowly over time.
As always, we will begin this broadcast with the official Pro Wrestling Illustrated Top 10 Contenders. Mr. Johnny Zero, what do you have for us this week?
It's funny. This week we have a little bit of a controversy.
Explain, sir.
Well, Fred Gwynn, as you know, the giant, he's now calling himself the thespian, the giant of TV Dad Wrestling, is complaining that his ranking is not as high as it should be, that Pat Morita, the Unified Japan champion, is actually higher than our World Television champion. And the problem with that is that, Gwynn hasn't really defended the title. He's defending it in house shows. It has to be televised.
This is true.
Yeah. So basically it starts off like this. And we have two new people that are pressing into the top 10. But at number 10, we have the Chi-Town Heat champion, the Chi-Town Blues, the Brass Knucks hardcore champion, Mr. Big Tony Soprano, who's not an active wrestler yet, as of yet, in our promotion. But
he made an appearance on the pay-per-view, sir.
Yes, he did. Absolutely. And then at number 9, we have the heckler, Sick Van Dyke, or Dick Van Dyke, Rob Petrie.
The family man, Dick Van Dyke. Yes, sir.
Yes. We have him at number 9, which I think there's going to be some interesting things on. Was it Heckler's House? That sounds creepy.
I couldn't advise you, sir.
Wow. Okay. All right. And number 8, we have Ward the Cleaver, still standing steadfast there. He needs to just get him a few more W's in the win column, and I'm sure he'll go back up there. He's a very formidable competitor. We have the South American Unified Champion, Ricky Ricardo, with his Relampega kick, the lightning kick. And at number 7, we have Macho Man Danny Banducci, with Miss Joni, of course, always at his side.
At what number is that, sir?
That would be number 6.
Okay.
And then at number 5, we have, this is where the controversy comes in, we have Fred Gwynn, which is the World Television Champion.
Yes, sir.
And then at number 4, we have the Mr. Samurai, the Pat Morita, the Unified Japan Champion.
That is interesting. That is interesting, sir.
Yes. And guys, understand that the PWI Top 10 recognizes all promotions, all territories, and it's an international, even territories in our own country. We obviously believe that TV Dad Wrestling is the, as you know, is the number one promotion in all of TV Dad Wrestling.
Well, in all of wrestling, it's the most,
yeah, I would agree,
most famous today.
Absolutely, absolutely. I don't think anybody would deny that. And well said. And then at number three, we have the working man, James Evans.
Ah, James Evans.
Which he's
good times.
Yeah. Temporary layoff. And
he's always fun.
And yes, right, well, he maintains his house shows. Wins are up and down. He's yet to get that big win at a pay per view or a televised.
There's
event.
Only been one pay per view, sir. Of
well,
course.
I mean, a televised event, but he is working every house show. He is the working man.
And there is some heat there. He's very upset with Mr. Bonaducci for him losing. And if not, Michael is more upset than anyone, the militant. But by all means, continue, sir.
Absolutely. And the family tournament. You just said
we reported on it. Yes.
Yes, we have. And you have the Duke of Chicago. JJ is trying to. I just feel bad for Michael. He's being torn apart between, because really he had two dads in a way. His big brother was kind of a dad as well. If you remember when James goes to Mississippi, he doesn't come back. That's true, from Chicago. That's actually how it happened in that episode.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's like season three, I think. Anyway, number two in the world, I still, for his ring work, the Kiss of Death, he's already maimed several wrestlers by biting their cheeks off and swallowing them and slithering all over them. The Bloody Stash Butcher himself.
You are suspect, sir.
You are out of line, sir. You are out of line,
the
sir.
The number one contender should
you,
be Mr.
Sir,
Brady.
You, sir, are out of line. That is just not...
You're a fanboy. It's sad.
I'm
you
not
can't
a
even think of your own
he
things to say.
He filed his teeth down to a... Come on. He's got...
You have milk all over your face. Or is that something... Is that cum? I don't know. I don't want to know.
Unbelievable. Nothing wrong. Milk, it does a body good. Ingles, I admit, is not the Bloody Stash clothing line. He's not the best guy with the microphone.
You literally yourself reported on our last episode that Charles Ingles was spotted wearing a mustache in public because he wants to be Mr. Brady.
He was following Rob Jones.
He was following the Marine, Rob Jones. But the bottom line is he was wearing a mustache, sir, and he was trying to be Mr. Brady. But the bottom line as always, is that Mr. Brady should be the number one contender. So who is your number one contender, sir, in your Pro Wrestling Illustrated list?
Well, it's not a contender. He's the number one wrestler in the world.
Which is?
The Frontiersman, Charles Ingles.
Everyone's so surprised.
Heavyweight wrestling champion, our inaugural World's Heavyweight Champion. I kept a can of confetti, a cup of confetti from the arena. I mean, you've never seen anything like it.
This is me laughing in your face.
Well, this guy makes up a new finishing move every match.
You're such a fanboy.
Catch can. Well, I real NWA style wrestling is something that we all miss, and this guy has it falling out of his pockets. He's not the best guy on the mic. He doesn't need to be in the ring. Did you hear about his new move, the Spirit of Lincoln?
I have not.
The Spirit of Lincoln is his new finishing move. I have not seen it yet myself. It's supposed to be unveiled at his next match. And, as you know, in Billigan, Illinois, like I said, Charles Ingles did tag with Catch-as-Catch-Can with Abraham Lincoln. That's a fact.
You know, I want to verify a few things to you. Yeah. In this television broadcast, we will see Charles Ingles defend for the first time ever his World's Heavyweight Championship.
For free on television, folks.
Do you know who he's challenging? Or I'm sorry, who's challenging for the title? Do you have any idea?
I whoever's coming.
The Black Magician.
Unbelievable.
Stephen Keaton. So with that, I want to debut the top five official TV Dads Wrestling Federation top five. Are you ready, sir?
Yeah, go ahead.
In the number five position, because he is the current lightweight champion of the TV Dads Wrestling Federation, is Peter the Great, Peter Brady.
Come on.
He is the current lightweight champion.
Genghis Khan whipped him.
And he could not follow the rules of the Federation. Therefore, Peter has the gold. Which actually, it's not gold. It's silver. But he has the belt.
Wow.
Good for him.
World's light heavy.
Peter the Great.
And is world's light heavyweight champion, is it not?
It's just lightweight champion.
Lightweight champion, okay. Fair enough. I guess you're right. He does hold gold.
Silver. Number four.
Right, silver.
The number four title of the top five of the TVWF is Danny Bonaducci, the Macho Man.
Absolutely.
A fantastic competitor.
Absolutely.
Number three, currently going up against Charles Ingles for the heavyweight championship of the world, is the Black Magician, Stephen Keaton.
Absolutely. Trained on Mount Kuga, ninja style. Absolutely. He had a dark side, folks. Didn't mean it.
In the number two position, the current TV heavyweight champion of the TV Dads Wrestling Federation, the Giant, Fred Gwynn. Any thoughts, Mr. Zero?
Well, he's claiming he's a lot taller than he really is, but he is the Giant, and he is, as world television champion, that makes him number one contender.
And I want to stress to you, we've introduced him as the Giant, no longer the Thespian. He is now the Giant Fred Gwynn, per his personal request.
Yeah.
And as always, because he is the heavyweight champion of the world, the number one spot of the top five of the TV Dads Wrestling Federation is the Frontierswoman, Charles Ingles.
What was that?
The Frontierswoman, Charles Ingles.
I think you must have.
Was it a typo?
Yeah, I think.
Perhaps the gentleman in the booth wrote the information incorrectly.
Somebody needs to come out and whoop him then.
The Frontierswoman, Charles Ingles.
Oh, will you stop that?
I don't know.
Are you sick?
Am I sick?
Are you crazy?
I feel fine, Mr. Zero.
Well, then why won't they, can't they beat him in the ring? Why don't you have your boy Brady and Ingles go at it one-on-one? We'll just see once and for all what it's all about.
I don't even have Brady in the top five because he's not holding any kind of title. How? And he's not in contention.
But his in-ring prowess, though.
I didn't compile the list.
Even I would say.
Commissioner, why is Mr. Brady not in the top five? I do not understand. Perhaps we can have Henry Winkler have a discussion, but that's where we're at right now.
That I would think so, because I would think Brady's in line.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, take us down to the squared circle. It is time for the first match of the evening. We are introducing, for the first time ever, and they're playing the Happy Days theme music, Ralph the Mouth and Potsy Weber. They are known as the Milwaukee Killers. And ladies and gentlemen, the crowd is going wild. They are a huge fan favorite. Mr. Zero, what are your thoughts of this unknown tag team?
Well, first of all, I heard the theme song. I was wondering if Vincent Cusano, Vinnie Vincent, had written part of it. But I think they actually work well together. I saw some of their Milwaukee regional matches.
Did you really?
Yes, I did. They have a nice I just wonder how this is going to affect Howard and his judgments and so forth.
He's a commissioner. These are not his children. They are just spin-off characters who hung around with his children on the TV show.
They are. Sometimes you can be closer with.
They look glorious. They're in the ring. They're muscular. They're oiled up. They're ready to compete. Oh, and the lights have gone dark. Ladies and gentlemen, Ted Knight is about to... He's taking the microphone and...
Ted Knight? What's going on?
He's our ring announcer. I don't know why you're so surprised. We're back on regular television. We are no longer on the pay-per-view. Yeah, Ted Knight has returned to his post.
I thought he was starting to... lose it after what happened with Gwynn.
Well, he's here to work. He wants to get his check, and I completely understand.
Absolutely.
He's introducing a new tag team that we've never heard of before called Weird Science. Weird Science. A new tag team. I'm getting documentation. Hold on. It is Jamie and Ted Lawson, the Lawsons, from the show Small Wonder. They are called Weird Science.
We're not really going to air this, are we?
What do you mean? It's a competition, sir. It's a tag team matchup.
No, after all these, it hasn't been proven in court yet, but I mean, you know what I saw and heard in that locker room. I mean, my God.
I remember you telling me, if I'm not mistaken,
it was still a sport.
It was John Ritter molesting Vicky in the corner. Is that what it was?
No, John Ritter had just shown up backstage, and it was Mr. Lawson conducting sexual experiments on Vicky for all those years and getting his son to join in on it.
John, if you go down to the ring, I'm so sorry to cut you off. I apologize. We have Weird Science has run into the ring Road Warrior style and have started pounding on Ralph Mouth and Potsy Weber.
Oh my God.
It's a bit odd, actually. I didn't think the Lawsons had it in them. The son of the two, Jamie Lawson, is rather rotund. He's rotund and he has shaved his head. He's kind of like a little King Kong Bundy. And they are just pounding and pounding.
Mini Kong Bundy?
Mini Kong Bundy. That's a good name for him. I wouldn't say it to his face, Mr. Zero, but I must say it is quite entertaining.
He might punch me
up, and here we go. Ralph Mouth has turned it around, and he has drop-kicked Ted Lawson over the top rope, which technically is against the rules, but no one is calling it. And they are double-teaming. They're double-teaming the little Jamie Bundy, King Kong Bundy. I'm sorry, his name is Jamie Lawson.
Yeah.
And now the tag team match has begun. Okay. Yeah. Ralph Mouse leaves the ring, and Potsy Weber is just tuning up the fat man.
Unbelievable. Mouth, and I can't believe how good they're working together, but why didn't the ref see the over the top rope disqualification? And when was that officially announced?
To be honest, I'm not sure. We will discuss it later, perhaps in the broadcast, but technically, per the TV Dad Wrestling Federation rules, you cannot throw your opponent for any reason over the top rope. So again, I'm not sure when the rule was instituted, but I can guarantee that if someone is thrown over the top rope for any reason, the official sees it, the offender will be disqualified immediately. Did you know this, sir?
I did not. I did not know that. I thought that was reserved for certain even NWA-style rules matches
now,
for championships.
Now, something interesting has transpired in the ring. As you know, when you are in the tag corner, you are holding the rope. That rope is attached to the ring apron, I'm sorry, the ring ropes themselves. Yes. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So in style of tag team from the 1970s and the 80s, the yes. competitors are holding this rope, which is yes. tied to the turnbuckle, which in turn yes. is tied to the ring. The ring you follow post, what I'm saying?
Yes, and they have, and also folks, just to piggyback off of what he's saying, it has a ring on it that you have your finger in. So when you can lean over and tag, but you have to have that in there, or the tag is not legal.
Now, Ralph Mouth is holding on while Potsy Weber is beating up the little Bundy in the ring, which I'm sorry, his name is Jamie Lawson, but we're calling him Mini Bundy because he's yes. a short, stout fellow who yes. shaves his head.
Yes.
The ring attendant is the referee. He's in right. the ring as well. There is no sign of Ted Lawson anywhere in the building. I believe once they threw him over the top rope, he crawled under the ring apron to recover. And frankly speaking, it looks like Jamie's getting tuned up. Now we have yes. a tag. Ralph is in. Potsy Weber's out. He is now holding onto the yep. rope.
Nice fluidity there between the tags. They got him in the corner. They're working it.
Now something interesting has just transpired. Mini Bundy has worked Ralph Mouth into the corner. And Ralph Mouth is resting against the turnbuckle. The referee is leaning on the rope and doing a count. Are you following what's happening?
Yep.
I want to recap this for the listeners in the audience. We have Potsy Weber holding onto the rope, who is in the tag corner. We have the referee leaning into the ropes and counting. And we have Ralph Mouth touching the turnbuckle. Now, Mini Bundy is not touching the buckle. Again, right. this is Jamie Lawson, who I refer to as Mini Bundy.
Yes.
At this time, Ted Lawson has ascended from under the ring apron. He's holding a bizarre contraption, which I can only describe as a long metal cylinder with a hand-looking thing at the end of it. He has attached that to the bottom rope, and he has clicked the switch, and ladies and gentlemen, the lights have flickered in the building, and an electric shock has gone through the ring apron, and everyone's unconscious except for the Lawsons.
Unbelievable. We can't even see here where we're watching.
Thanks. All right, the lights have returned. And Weird Science is standing there. They're getting the referee, and they're yeah. getting him back up. And oh my goodness, they have pinned in the center of the ring Ralph Mouth. 1, 2, 3. Ladies and gentlemen. We have a winner. We have a winner in the first time ever in the first competition. Weird Science has won the tag competition.
Unbelievable.
John Ritter is running up the runway to the ring as we speak.
Yes.
Johnny Zero, can you take this over
yes,
for me?
Yes, absolutely. John Ritter is running out from the audience. He has some tights on, yellow boots, and he's got his trench. It doesn't matter. He's coming down. He's going to do anything he can to destroy
And Mini Bundy's gone. Mini Bundy has left. Jamie Lawson running for his life, leaving his father alone, Ted Lawson, in the ring.
And it looks like Mr. Lawson's hightailing it. Ritter got a piece of the back of him, ripped off part of his shirt there, but it looks like he's gotten away. And Ritter's getting on the mic and asking, how did this guy even get licensed to, but you know, as you know, TV Dad Wrestling, we have to be authorized by the State Athletic Commission.
Oh, my goodness. The microphone is cut off, and the giant television over the ring. What is the television called? Is it the TV Datatron?
Yes.
I'm not sure what the lingo is for it. There is our new unfortunate leader, Jerry Springer, who is now addressing Mr. Ritter. He is advising that he has the power to have anyone in the Wrestling Federation he seems and deems to be eligible for competition, and that is why. Howard Cunningham has been rendered powerless because the acting owner, Jerry Springer, has allowed the Lawsons, Weird Science, to compete.
Now, and what makes me sick about this is that the people who are just, as we build this promotion, it's getting big, it's catching on like wildfire, is that they're not going to watch the initial broadcast because Springer is also going to use his propaganda in the news. This is a big deal.
So they're augmenting what's actually being recorded and happening, and your theory being that when it is sound out for it, they're transmitting it incorrectly. Is that correct, sir?
Not as it happens, but what I'm worried about is the next day, because with Springer, you have a direct contact to the major news channels.
Well, they do tape a week behind. I want to stress that to you. So we are here today, Saturday yeah. night. This will not broadcast until Saturday morning of the following week.
Well, I agree. That gives him a week. That gives him a week ahead of time to talk to his contacts.
To manipulate everything.
Exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was a fantastic bout. We're going to have to unfortunately pause for some network advertisement at this point. Can you please bear with us? Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you so much for bearing with us. This is the TV Dads Wrestling Federation. Johnny Zero, how are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Dexter?
I'm good. I got to tell you, we're going to go to the ring at this point. Please bear with me. We're going down to ringside. This is a special part of the broadcast. This is the first ever Heckler's House that is being taken over by the judge, Philip Banks. And ladies and gentlemen, let's go down and let's hear what's going on.
I have been waiting for this all week long.
What we have is the case of the Heckler versus Tim Allen. We're going to go to the Heckler's House, which is going to be presided over by the judge, Philip Banks. Mr. Johnny Zero.
Well, it looks like Tim Allen, I think, was framed, but we're going to find out. Stuff has been planted in his system and in his locker room, and it looks like the Heckler was behind it. We're going to have to find out. He does have two character witnesses here today.
Who does he have with him, sir?
Number one is the world's heavyweight wrestling champion, is the Frontiersman Charles Ingalls, risking his reputation, by the way, to stick up for Tim Allen, because Tim Allen had been rehabilitating at the Ingalls farm for 6 months, as did, that's the same place that John Ritter trains at as well. They're both here to stand up for his character. I don't know if anybody else has shown up. There's rumors that James Evans may as well, but that's it. Everything else seems to be, the deck seems to be stacked against Tim Allen.
Again, this is a very special Heckler's House featuring
Tim,
the judge, Philip Banks. And here's Bull the bailiff. Everyone rise. The judge has entered the courtroom. And what's happening? They will not let us microphone the court because it is a court case. So you and I have to do color commentary to explain to the listeners exactly what's happening.
Oh, man.
So here we go.
Okay.
The judge is sat. He's letting everyone else sit down, and the cases have begun. So from what I can determine, it seems as though the Heckler has a defense attorney and a prosecuting attorney, and the Heckler's featuring his case, or he's trying to explain the fact that Tim Allen, in fact, did test positive for PEDs and for recreational drugs, and this is the reason that he has been barred for 90 days. Johnny Zero.
Is Tim, from what I can see from here, is Tim Allen elected to defend himself?
He has, sir. He is definitely. He's his own counsel.
With character witness?
And, it seems as though Tim Allen, who's going to present his case...
This is not right.
He's expressing that he has a video that he can play that will exonerate him immediately, but the judge has said no. He wants the Heckler's case to be heard first because that's the prosecution,
wow.
And then you can defend yourself.
Unbelievable.
So the Heckler is going in great detail. Heckler's attorney is explaining that he has the toxicology reports, the drug tests, things of that nature, and that this gentleman is 100% guilty. What are your thoughts, sir?
Well, I just don't buy it. I went up there and covered some of those things that went on at the Ingalls farm.
Sure.
And what was going on. And if something like that was going on, first of all, how are you going to even get stuff like that in the middle of nowhere like that? You know, I just don't buy it. I believe Ingalls, I believe Ritter, I believe Evans, they've worked with this guy. He was just setting up the ring when this happened. He wasn't even an active wrestler yet. I just think a travesty of justice may happen here. I don't know why he elected to defend himself and not get a lawyer, but...
But again, perhaps he knows something we do not, and I have to stress,
yeah.
The Heckler's attorney, the case has rested. The Heckler has rested his case. He has presented the information. He has shown definitively that there is guilt in reference to Tim, the Tool Man Taylor, or
yeah.
Tim Allen.
And listen to that sick laugh.
The judge has banged the gavel and advised that the Heckler cannot express himself through laughing.
Yes.
Or he will be removed from the court. Bull has gone over and he has expressed that this is not a possibility today, and everyone has agreed. So the case is rested, and with that, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to take a commercial break, so please bear with us.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Welcome back to TV Dads Wrestling Federation. Here we are featuring a special Heckler's House with the judge, Philip Banks. And what I want to stress to everyone is that Tim Allen is about to present his side of the case. Johnny Zero.
This is, I just wonder what he's going to do here. This whole, and by the way, this whole Heckler's House setup, you guys just have to see it. It's creepy. This is like something out of a Saw movie. It's unbelievable. I don't know how he was allowed to do that in a court of law.
Well, Jerry Springer has definitely changed things since he assumed control of the Federation.
Somebody's getting paid somewhere. That's all I know.
Okay, here we go. Tim Allen is approaching the judge. He is asked to play a videotape, a very specific videotape, which he claims will exonerate him immediately. And Phillip Banks is allowing it. He's allowing the videotape to be played as part of the case. And here we go. We're going to the video. Oh, my goodness. It literally shows Mr. Dick Van Dyke, America's sweetheart, America's dad, breaking into the laboratory, and he seems to be in some way handling the test results for one Tim Allen. What are your thoughts on this, Mr. Zero?
Unbelievable. If that's what it looks like, I'm going to have to – can we zoom in on that?
We're trying as best we can. Again, I want to stress that we are not allowed to record or have a microphone inside the courtroom for court of law.
This, along with the two, we still have the two character witnesses. They're trying to discredit the one. This looks like
this
exactly what I said it was.
Damning evidence, hands down, for Mr. Dick Van Dyke the heckler. There's no two ways about it.
Sicko.
And frankly, no. There's no other witnesses. He has rested his case. And the judge, Phillip Banks, is going to deliberate, and he's going to come back with a decision.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on the matter, Mr. Zero?
I think given the video evidence and the fact that our world's heavyweight champion and respected men of society, Ritter and Ingles both are and Evans, I hear, has done a write-in for his to Uncle Phil for his on Tim's behalf, the technician. I don't see how. I think this should be thrown out.
I have to speak on it. I don't see the suspension being held up. I think it will be overturned. I feel that once everything returns back after the judge deliberates and he comes back with a decision, I think the tool man will return to the squared circle before the 90 days.
Well, I think so too. I hope so. I mean, I don't believe it in the first place. I mean, I somebody wouldn't be able to do the things he was doing if he was, on that. And the thing is, though, if he was, I mean, he had the arrest in, was it 1978, and he's had, there's been rumors, so on and so forth, that they won't ever let him live it down, it's true. Maybe there's some sort of voluntary outpatient program.
Perhaps he will be exonerated tonight. But ladies and gentlemen, let's go down to the ring, and they're introducing James Evans, and the music for Good Times is playing right now. Good times.
Temporary layoffs.
Good times.
He's okay to rip off.
Good times. So James Evans is coming to the ring. He's jovial, he's happy, and he's ready to participate because, ladies and gentlemen, for the first time since winning the World Television Heavyweight Championship, Mr. The Giant, Frederick Gwynn.
Self-proclaimed giant.
And Ted Knight is being removed from the ring.
What's that? What is he doing?
I don't know. There's someone coming in. Is that Eddie Munster? Is that who that is?
Is it?
I don't know.
It looks certainly like him.
He definitely looks like Eddie Munster.
From his band, Eddie and the Munsters, right?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you could please bring your attention to the squared circle. I'm here to introduce for the first time ever on network television your TV heavyweight champion for the Wrestling Federation, the Giant, the Thespian, Frederick Gwynn.
Ted Knight is livid. He is livid outside the ring. He does not understand why his job is being taken away from him. And
unbelievable.
Absolutely no theme music.
Disrespect.
Here comes the Giant.
Unbelievable.
And they are now booing and throwing things at the Giant.
And he's stepping over the top rope. He stepped one foot up to the ring apron and stepped the other one over. I've never seen anybody do that before.
Neither have I, sir. He is a tremendous competitor, a fantastic specimen. And here we go. The ring, the match has begun. We have a lockup between Gwynn and
James
the working man, James Evans.
I power for power. I that's a pretty strong matchup. I'm going to give it to James.
No, it's the TV.
It depends on who. It's all about leverage. It's all about that. James. James is not as big as Gwynn is, but if he can get underneath and use his low center of gravity there, he may be able to overturn this.
Now, Mr. Zero, I want to express something to you. There is merely a 10-minute time limit on the television program. If the challenger does not defeat the television champion within 10 minutes, he is not the winner of the match.
That is true, folks. It's 10-minute time limit. That means that he can be beat in 12 minutes, you may be happy, and we're not trying to disappoint you. That's just the way Springer has the contract spread up. So he's enforced that, the 10-minute rule for the TV time limit. I don't know if you remember Tully Blanchard. It's just like those days in the 1980s.
And Mr. Evans has gone to giving several roundhouse kicks to the face of the Giant, who's stumbling, and he has fallen. The Giant is on his back in the middle of the ring.
Yep, and Fred, James Evans going off the ropes, drops a flying elbow smash, comes off the ropes again, does another one. Oh, that's great. Hooks him up. One, two. Did he get him there?
He kicked out.
Are you sure that shoulder looked down to me?
He unfortunately wasn't counted. It didn't happen.
What's going on here? Something's up with that.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have to go to a commercial break. The action will continue. We shall be back in a moment. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this match. There's only 3 minutes remaining in the time limit. It is the TV champion facing off against the working man, James Evans. Johnny Zero.
Well, I don't know who's that. Is that coming out of the back? Is that the Duke of Chicago is coming out of the back, James?
It's the Militant, sir.
And with the Militant. And he seems to be grabbing him by the hand like he's a little kid. He's dragging him down the ringside. I hear him going up to the ringside as the Giant and the Militant, the Giant and Evans are going back and forth.
We are down to 2 minutes. 2 minutes on the time limit.
2 minutes.
You see, this is what your daddy is. See that? That's a loser. That's an Uncle Tom.
And
ladies and gentlemen, I can't believe it. If you see, the Duke of Chicago is yelling at the Militant. To reiterate, the Duke of New York has referred to James Evans as an Uncle Tom to his own son, Michael the Militant Evans.
I can't believe this is going on. Apparently, folks, just so you know, this is, goes back to where if you listen to our pay-per-view Fallout episode, our recap, there was always... When James left Good Times, if you remember, after I think the third, a few seasons in, he went to Mississippi and didn't come back. Apparently, that's not the case. JJ became the father and raised Michael, who was always a very learned civil rights activist. Now he's bringing Michael down to the ring and trying to insinuate that he's more of a father to him than James is. This is because of a burning feud between James, Jimmy Walker, as he is now, and James Evans. As you know, he had to work at the nuclear power plant and so forth to get work. He was once had the world swinging by his nuts, if so to speak, and then the Eddie Murphy and Charlie Murphy, the Murphy brothers. He didn't get hooked up by
now
James.
Now listen, I'm sorry to interrupt that inventory. We have 1 minute left in the match. James Evans is handily taking apart the world's television champion to a network audience. And ladies and gentlemen, we are literally down to 50 seconds. There are 50 seconds left in the match.
And it looks like Michael's rooting for him.
Of course he is. Wait, Michael's rooting for who?
It looks like Michael's starting to root for the working man, James Evans.
Of course he is. That's his father.
And he's getting frowned upon by the Duke of Chicago. I don't understand it.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are 30 seconds left in the match. There are 30 seconds remaining in the match. And it looks as though James Evans is going to eke out a victory.
Yeah.
We're very excited. There could be a new TV champion right here.
Power slam.
So wait a minute. Does he lose the $20,000? Has his feet left the ground? Is it official?
I don't know.
No, wait. He's working on him.
More about the title.
He gets Gwynn on his back. Yeah. And no, he cannot get him down. He cannot hold him down. He cannot hold the pin.
No, he fell back. It wasn't a complete power slam.
Okay. So his feet did not technically leave the ground.
His 1 foot didn't leave the ground. He's so big.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, that is the time limit. Now, James Evans did not hear the bell. He's continuing to work.
Yeah,
he has covered Frederick Gwynn. He has covered him. The referee will not count the three. He doesn't understand why. J.J. Walker ascends into the ring. Michael is there. They have the flag because they are militants.
But James Evans just picked him up and does slam him, and he is on top for a 1-2-3. He's counting himself.
It's well beyond the time limit.
Why is nobody counting?
It is well beyond the 10-minute time limit.
Does he get the $20,000?
He does not get the money because it is not during the ring time.
You're kidding me.
I'm sorry. The match is over.
No, wait a minute.
You heard the bell. Heard the bell ring.
James should get the $20,000.
Unfortunately, I didn't make the rules. That's the way the situation is.
He'd probably give half to the audience.
And Cop Lives Matter are there with the shotguns to defend the money. And they are now pointing the shotguns in the direction of Michael, asking him to please leave the ring.
Unbelievable.
Pandemonium here, ladies and gentlemen.
It's unbelievable.
I'm so sorry to say. With that, we must go to commercial break. Please bear with us.
We're going
to
keep here as long as we can, folks.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back from the commercial break. This is the TV Dads Wrestling Federation. So much has happened. I want to express off of the air, we had Cop Lives Matter brandishing weapons, and yes. the militant and his brother, the Duke of New York, along with James Evans, were escorted from the ring.
Chicago.
I'm sorry. Oh, the Duke of Chicago. Yes. I do apologize, yes. Mr. Zero. They were all escorted from the ring by the armed guards of yes. Cop Lives Matter, defending the $20,000, advising the slam in question did not happen during the sanctioned ring event, and therefore, A, James Evans does not win the TV championship.
This man has been screwed.
And B, he does not secure the $20,000. Go ahead, Mr. Zero.
Oh, it's just unbelievable. He did the slam, but Gwynn is so big that one foot did not.
Which is not a slam, sir.
It did. It,
both feet
call it? It
must more
of a,
be off
more
the ground.
Of a reverse fireman's carry?
Yes, I would give you that.
But he still had him down for the three count. And
Long after the bell had rang, sir.
Well, I either way, he's doing his best for his son Michael because and the thing I don't understand is why the Duke of Chicago, Jamie Walker, is
J.J. Walker, sir.
J.J. Walker is yelling at Michael all the way back to the locker room.
He did refer to his father as Uncle Tom,
a loser, and everything else. That's just not right. I feel bad for James. But he's got to get another shot, I would think, right?
I mean, unfortunately, I don't sanction the matches. I can't speak
well,
on
well,
that.
Well, how would that, in the official rankings?
He lost. In the official rankings, he definitely just lost to the TV champion. He didn't beat him in the 10 minutes. That's the criteria.
No, what is the actual, in the books, what was the actual call on the match? Like, how would that work?
It has run the time limit.
Time limit, that's a
draw. And the champion secures the championship belt, which makes him technically the winner.
Sure. But what I'm saying is, doesn't that mean that you have a competitor that fought a recognized world champion, television champion, to a time limit draw, and that would be a draw or a tie in their book, and would keep their rankings in the top five, so he at least stays in...
Well, I want to stress something. This is interesting when you say the top five, because in the TDWF, Evans wasn't even in the top five. If you remember, we have Peter Brady at number five, Bonaducci number four, Black Magician at number three,
right?
Fred Gwynn at number two because he's a TV champion, and then the heavyweight champion is Charles Ingalls, of course, at number one.
Right.
So he's not even in the top five. Now, he might be in the top 10 on your list on the Pro Wrestling Illustrated
list. That's international, but I'm saying but because he went the time limit draw with the World Television Champion.
You think he would advance further?
That's what I'm asking you.
It's possible. Sorry, I don't
like
make the list.
On next week's.
I don't make the list, sir.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, it's made by... You know, Mr. Winkler.
Right, fair enough.
Along with the commissioner.
Absolutely.
So I'm not really sure. It could be superseded at this point, technically, by the owner, which is a heavy-handed. I mean, we have, like, you know, the whole thing with Springer. He's the guy now. And it's interesting because our previous owner was definitely hands-off.
I agree. And there's just all kinds of weird things I see going on.
And Steve Wilkos is walking around in a security outfit.
Yes, absolutely.
It's been very interesting, to say the least. It's nice to be home. It's nice to be back in our regular environment.
And if you notice that they're booking in Chicago, they're booking house shows and all over the place. You know, Mr. Big just keeps to being like backstage. He's been at one of our pay-per-views. There's something up. I don't know what it is. There's like a group going on. There's all these factions starting to take place. And
there's a change in the ether, if you will.
Yes.
The TV Dads Wrestling Federation was Wholesome Family Entertainment. Initially, as we had stated a very long time ago, it was created to be a gladiator match by Rupert Murdoch.
Drink milk.
It was then purchased, you know what I mean, by, unfortunately, the owner who's now injured, Ross Perot.
Yes.
So the acting owner, on his behalf is Jerry Springer. Ross Perot, though conscious, isn't really predetermined or I should say worrying currently about the TV Dads Wrestling Federation.
Yeah. How is he doing health-wise?
Springer has not released any information. We have no new information since the pay-per-view, unfortunately. He's alive and well, though.
What is that all about?
I can't speak on that, sir. Perhaps you, as an undercover reporter who crawls in air ventilation shafts, perhaps you could find some information.
I am going to be honest.
Have you attempted to visit Texas and see where Russ Perot and how he is?
I have, but it seems that I'm blocked on all my press passes and everything have been negated by the Springer regime.
Mr. Zero, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but the judge, Philip Banks, has returned for the special Heckler's House featuring the judge, Philip Banks.
Ooh.
And here we go live for the verdict. And as always, we are unable to bring the camera or the microphones into the court. We can see the festivities from where we were at, and we can see the reaction. And do you care to take this over, Mr. Zero?
No, you go right ahead.
Okay.
I'm trying to get a better look myself.
So he's reading off the list of charges. Oh, my goodness. This is amazing. The judge, Philip Banks, has dismissed all charges against Tim Allen.
Are you kidding?
Has overturned the suspension. He can return immediately to wrestling live in full competition.
Unbelievable.
And has launched an official investigation against the heckler. The heckler, Dick Van Dyke,
yes,
while the investigation is underway for 6 months, is barred from wrestling competition in the TV Dads Wrestling Federation.
And he's filing an appeal already with Springer, but that's amazing, man.
It is amazing, sir. I'm shocked. Frankly, it's gratifying. Tim Taylor, he's jubilant. Please take this over, sir.
I think it's great any time when someone who has been falsely accused of something or maybe made mistakes in their lives. Maybe, I don't know who you are out there. Everybody's made mistakes in their life. And to get a second chance and come back and then have somebody lie about it is, there's nothing more despicable than that. And I'm just so happy.
Exonerated, sir. He has been exonerated.
Absolutely. Redemption. Absolutely.
Good for him. Mr. Allen returned to singles competition. Yeah. He has defended himself successfully. The heckler being removed by bailiffs of Bull and Cop Lives Matter.
Unbelievable.
Ejected immediately from the building.
So that's Andy Griffith as well?
Yes, sir.
Andy Griffith and
Bull. He will uphold the law. Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Andy Griffith and Bull just pulled. That's funny seeing that goofy son of a bitch pull out of there. But I think he'll be back. I think he'll be back. He's rolling his eyes in his head. Is this guy like satanic or something? What is his demonic possession or something? Is that his gimmick?
I can't speak on it, sir. I just know, unfortunately, wrestling will miss the heckler for at least 6 months of competition.
Will the heckler's house, though, be back?
How can I speak on this? I would assume that everything is suspended, sir, for a full 6 months.
With Springer, I wouldn't count on it.
I don't know.
Maybe in ring, but
ladies and gentlemen, this is so exciting. Yeah. We are going to go to a commercial break, and when we return, we are going to see for the first time ever the world's heavyweight champion
being defended,
Charles Engels,
being defended on your television screen
for free, against the Black Magician Stephen Keaton.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, please stay with us. Bear with us.
Yes, we'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the TV Dads Wrestling Federation. Charles Ingles, the world's heavyweight champion, is now coming to the ring. They're playing his theme music, Baba O'Reilly. Johnny Zero, please take it away.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Of coming to the ring, your world's heavyweight champion, standing at a solid 6'5", weighing in at 257 1/4 pounds. The heavyweight champion of the world, Charles Ingles, the frontiersman, and his trusty steed, his companion, Neckbeard the dog.
Oh, Neckbeard, the loving Neckbeard, holding the American flag in his teeth.
Absolutely. And Ingles gets in the ring, and he's ready to go. He's testing the timber, testing the ring ropes and the turnbuckles back and forth, making sure that the technician, because his friend, the tech, obviously a nod to Tim Allen, because Tim Allen was setting up the
ring. Congratulations, Mr. Allen. Yeah.
Absolutely, as a congratulations, I just think that's amazing because that's the only job that Tim Allen could get after his former drug problems. Ingles got him in with Ritter setting up the ring, and that's how you usually start out when you break in the business. There's nothing wrong with that. And someone to
again, I want to express to all of you that Charles Ingles is exploiting his friend, the drug addict, Tim Allen, and putting him to work as nothing more than a laborer.
No.
This was a giant star on television, on stage and screen. He played Santa Claus,
absolutely,
and now he has to clean up horse dung at the Ingles Ranch. It's just despicable.
No, they throw around barrels of hay, bench presses, wheelbarrows of rocks in them. All I know is, he was clean there and he has tests there for 6 months straight saying he didn't do anything.
I think they made a movie about that. It's called Brokeback Mountain. I've seen that movie.
It's called Rocky IV.
Brokeback Mountain.
When he goes
to the Charles Ingles Ranch, the frontierswoman.
Do you hear this, fans? The fountain of misinformation.
And ladies and gentlemen, this is interesting. Normally, the challenger comes in first, but in this capacity, they're introducing the Black Magician, Charles Keaton. There's no one coming out. Oh, my goodness, a giant puff of smoke, and yes, Mr. Keaton is in the center of the ring. Johnny Zero.
Yes. I'm assuming that must be one of his ninjutsu-inspired smoke bombs from the Shokasugi movies. Apparently, Shokasugi, the greatest ninjutsu actor in all time. And Keaton apparently went to train with him, apparently after Diane and him and Alex went away, there was a dark side to him. And he's very, very fluid in the ring. He's very dangerous. This should be a good contest. I would say strength, I would give the... I still think the Keaton that Ingles has him on pretty much every category. But I still would not count out Keaton here. Keaton is a very talented competitor. Why don't you could tell us more about that, Vex?
Actually, if you could go deeper into Keaton's training regimen, I know that you had flown overseas and did a little bit of research on your own.
Yes.
What happened exactly?
Well, he went over to the Mount Kuga-style ninjas training. That's the same place that Shokasugi, if you guys have seen Revenge of the Ninja, and Enter the Ninja. He trained with Shokasugi and has learned that, plus his own magician tricks. So he's just a formidable competitor. He has a dark side, a violent side. He's afraid that everybody thinks that he was soft and so forth.
Yeah, I guess he's angry because the character that was portrayed on Family Ties, he kind of was a soft bitch, if you will.
He's similar to, in a way, similar to the Cleaver, but not quite as extreme as that, because Keaton still retains some of that Woodstock.
I was going to say that hippie vibe. Like in the beginning of the show, there's a montage. He's got long hair and he has no facial hair and he has the whole I'm a hippie with the headband thing.
Right. And Flower Children. And
Left Wings, if you will.
Yeah. But back then, though, we're not talking about extreme socialists. We mean when civil rights was really meant something. He seemed to have a heart and he was really good but he apparently had an angry spot.
And in many ways, that heart has turned black, and he is now the black magician, and he is squaring off in the squared circle as we speak against Charles Ingles. There's the bell, ladies and gentlemen, and the match has begun.
Yes. Here we go, lock up. Ingles wraps around a headlock.
Oh, and I rake. And I rake from the black magician.
Black magician.
Oh, he gets the best of Ingles. That's a dirty move.
Yeah, Ingles comes up again, the collar double tie-up. Magician takes him into Ingles grabs him in a headlock. Excuse me. Keaton wraps him into the corner, throws him into the ropes. They're going off. He ducks down. Ingles jumps over top. Ingles catches him with a punch right to the face. Black
Keaton
down.
slides under the bottom rope, and he's outside the ring.
Yes,
he's outside the ring to buy time.
Yes, he's looking around, trying to measure the man up.
And he throws a smoke bomb. Boom. Oh, my goodness. Keaton is back in the squared circle. Ingles' eyes are blacked.
Ingles is doing push-ups. And Ingles is doing push-ups in the ring with the smoke going on. And he gets up, and they lock up again. Ingles' body slams Keaton. Keaton looks behind, though. He wraps up one of Ingles' feet and pulls him down and puts him up in a reverse ankle lock. Ingles grabs the ropes. The hold is broken. Now we reach up again. You want to take over?
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I'm so sorry to say we have to go to commercial break. Please bear with us. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. So much has transpired since the commercial break has begun. The two competitors are in the squared circle having a match of strength. They are facing like two rams, and they're pounding and not pounding. They're just holding into each other. Johnny Zero, can you please explain?
Well, it's a test of strength. Looks like Ingles is getting the best of it. Keaton actually holding his own pretty much, and then Keaton hits him right between the legs. Cheap shot.
Low blow.
His true colors would come
low
out sooner
blow.
Or later. I knew his true colors would come out sooner or later. And Keaton now taking advantage of the situation, hitting on Ingles' back, hitting on his head, got the man up, and he's going to a DDT. Roll over, float over with a pin. 1, 2, kick out. Kick out. Ingles trying to get...
So close.
Trying to get out. Now Keaton going again and whips Ingles into the ropes. Throws a smoke bomb down and super kicks Ingles. And Ingles says, what did he throw in his eyes? Was that smoke? And was it dust? It was a smoke bomb and like salt or something in the eyes.
I can't speak on it, sir. I just see it myself. The referee has not called it. I don't understand why.
I was under the impression that Keaton was not a
dirty wrestler?
No. I mean, I know he had tricks, but...
He is called the Black Magician.
Well, we were talking about the most coveted prize in all of professional sports.
That is a true sentence, and he is an anti-hero, sir.
Absolutely, and I bet it'll make him do anything. But Engels is still blinded. Keaton is going up to the top here.
A suplex, sir.
Yes. He's going to put him on the top. He's going to try and superplex him. He's going up to the second rope superplex.
My God.
Picks him up over the top.
Boom! What a thunderous way to hit the canvas.
Float over superplex, too. You don't see that very often. One, two. Oh.
Foot on the ropes. Foot on the ropes.
Kicked out. Got out of it. Yep. Foot on the ropes. Had it a little close there. Engels gets thrown out of the ring. Now, what is Keaton doing outside the ring? What the hell is he going on out here? He's grabbing chairs. And, oh, my God.
How does the ref not call this? How is this not recognized in the Federation?
I have no idea. The rules seem to have changed under the Springer regime. I have no idea. I that was blatant. That was blatant. He threw the man over the ropes. I could have sworn the referee was looking at it. Isn't this not over the top rope disqualification, is it not?
It is. It is, sir.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see what's going on. Ingles is clearly bleeding here. Clearly
split
busted.
Split wide open.
Wearing
wide open.
The proverbial crimson mask, folks. The proverbial crimson mask. If you're a fan of Gordon Solie, God rest his soul, you'll know what I'm talking about. His face is completely red with blood. This is unbelievable. And now he's putting the boots to him. What is Keaton saying in the microphone? Did you hear that?
I did not, sir.
He said when a good man's down, he doesn't kick him. He puts the boots to him.
Oh, black-hearted wrestler.
Unbelievable. I can't believe. I've never seen this viciousness side of Engels before. I mean, of Keaton before. This is just unbelievable.
You know, to be fair, no one likes Engels. So I can understand why when facing him in the squared circle in a match that you would be violent more towards him. Because who wants to fight a woman? I mean, really. This
what
is
are
the
you
TV
talking
Dads
about?
Wrestling Federation.
The entire E-section is getting ready to come over the...
It's the Frontiers woman, and this is who you're
the
fighting.
The entire E-section is getting ready to come over the gates to defend this man. There's children crying. What are you talking about?
Holding their milk. And their hero is blood red. Like the loser he is, who stars in that movie we had discussed previously, Brokeback Mountain.
No.
Yes.
He stars in the movie because I was a teenage werewolf. not Brokeback Mountain, which is another way. I want to see the spirit of Lincoln come in here. Unbelievable. So he's kicking him.
The referee has advised both that the wrestlers must return inside the ring or they'll be counted out.
Thrown back in. They run back along, and Engels just again getting destroyed by Keaton. I've never seen this side of Keaton before.
The Black Magician indeed.
Shoulder breaker. Oh, nice shoulder breaker. Drops the elbow, goes over the top. One, two, kick out on two. Engels is starting to get mad, folks, it looks like. Whips him into the ropes. Backdrop on Engels.
Oh, that's horrible.
Very bad. And the blood just went all over. I think it got near our sets here, folks. And Keaton goes off to the turnbuckle, drops a leg, an axe bomber. And it's a real leg drop, folks.
Now, how come every time he covers the champion, he doesn't hook the leg? Now, what is that?
I have no idea. I think it's arrogance on his part.
It could be. It could be. The Black Magician could be arrogant.
It could be. It could be. One. He's got one, two. He kicks out again. He should be hooking the leg. I would hook both. I would schoolboy him.
Well, the power of Engels, he's a woman, so he's got that low center of gravity, and he's got a lot of power in his leg, so he's able to kick out like a lady. Like a lady.
Unbelievable.
The Frontiers woman, Charlotte Engels.
That's terrible that you would say that. This guy spends his time up there alone in that farm with his wasn't for neckbeard.
On Brokeback Mountain Farm.
With Caroline and Laura away. Lives up there lonely and has he has a workout facility. As you guys know, professional wrestlers don't have an off season. So whatever we do, we have complete respect for what they do. They don't get a lot of respect. This is serious. They don't get a lot of respect from anybody. Like, you can say what you want about NFL. You can it's predetermined. It's fake. Listen, I don't care what you say. They don't have an off season. That kind of conditioning is something completely different. And wouldn't you agree with me on that?
It's constant. It's sincere.
Yeah.
Like, imagine getting, like, slammed into the plywood, which is really what the rings are made of, covered by the small, like,
things of that nature. Yeah. No, it's the ring, the canvas over plywood, literally, and that's how you get slammed. Like, there's a lot of injuries. Like, the great Arn Anderson, who Daniel Tosh for some reason despises on his show and speaks very often about, the great Arn Anderson had to leave wrestling.
Yeah, what is that about?
I don't know. It's pretty funny. He's like, "That's right, Arn. I'm coming to get you. You're nothing, Arn Anderson."
That's so funny.
It's fucking awesome. I love it.
You must be a big fan. I love his stand-up, by the way. It's fucking hilarious.
It's twisted, if you will.
His sports stuff is kind of funny. I haven't heard enough to really, like, know, like, all of it, but I did see the Arn Anderson thing, so he does that more than once.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, yeah. It's like a thing.
Wow.
He's like, "That's right, Arn. I said it. Arn Anderson, what? You're nothing." and Daniel Tosh is from Florida originally, and I think Arn Anderson might live in Florida now. That's a little weird.
Wow. Like, Marty Lundy. That's his real name. Yeah, but don't tell him that. Don't call him that if you meet him. Just let you know. Some of the wrestlers, if you call them by their real name, you know, they'll get pissed off. But most of them, my man, are cool.
It's true. If you call Charlotte Engels Charlotte, she gets really offended.
Oh,
it's true.
Gosh. Do you hear him, folks?
The Frontiers woman, Charlotte Engels.
Unbelievable, unbelievable. Engels, well, let's back to the ring, folks. Engels taking a lot of punishment now. Let's see here. Keaton throws him into the ropes, tries to throw another smoke bomb. Engels catches his hand. Takes. Hold on. What's he doing? He's taking Keaton's face and he's shoving it in his throat. Shoving it in his mouth. Hits him and there's smoke coming out of the head of Keaton.
That's amazing.
Smoke coming out of the head of Keaton. Throws him into the ropes. Boot. It's highway to heaven, folks. Highway to heaven. Going in there. It hooks into a perfect storm. He's got him up. Spins around, letting the head smoke. It's smoke coming out of his face still. You believe this?
I don't.
And a reverse jackhammer. Unbelief. Switches around. Step over toe hold. Front face chin lock. STF. Makes the bitch tap. Keaton taps like a bitch.
No.
I'm sorry.
Ladies and gentlemen, the winner and still world's heavyweight champion, Charlotte Engels.
Who was that? Charlotte.
That was Ted Knight. Ted Knight gets it.
Ted Knight. Unbelievable. Well, he's kind of lost his mind here lately.
Oh, Ted's great. He's going to return to singles competition. He's going to be a force to reckon with.
I agree. I think he'd be a great heart when a hardcore division starts.
That
I
whole
see.
Thing in Oklahoma, he doesn't give a shit. He's coming back to wrestling. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, something's transpiring in the ring. The Black Magician is not leaving. He's smoking uncontrollably. It's bizarre. Charles Ingles at this point is actually concerned and tries to go assist the Black Magician.
Yeah, we need some paramedics out here.
It's insane.
This is unbelievable.
Pandemonium running wild.
But those things, I mean, that might be poison. Might burn out his throat or something, man. I mean, it looks like this guy's. I mean, there's literally smoke bombs, like in the ninja movies when they throw the bombs down and smoke and then they disappear. Or like if you've seen Batman, does it? This is like he was.
Ladies
shoved.
And gentlemen, I breaking news. Breaking news. If you look, Stashberg and Mr. Brady are going to the ring. They are going to the ring. They're both wearing matching red capes, which is bizarre.
Right.
They're jumping in the ring and they're attacking Charlotte Engels. They're attacking Miss Charlotte Engels.
Unbelievable. They're putting the boots to him. What are they going to do with Keaton? Does that mean Keaton is in their
profession? Keaton is smoking into the side and. Oh my God!
They need a stretcher.
Oh my God! Keaton is now fighting off the bloody Stash Butcher, and he's fighting off
Stashberg. Stashberg, unbelievable!
To defend Charles Engels. My God, I can't believe it. It's four men battling in the ring.
Unbelievable! Somebody needs Engels.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is amazing. This is free on television. This is not a pay per view event.
Yeah,
you have Stashberg and you have the Bloody Butcher off against Charles Engels. Charlotte Engels, the world's heavyweight champion, Charlotte, and the Black Magician.
This is a main event anywhere. In the world, folks.
Anywhere in the world,
every day of the week. But I do think that they should They need to get Keaton.
They're trying to show that the match is over. They keep ringing the bell.
Paramedics are out for Keaton.
The Cullen commentator, Bob Uecker, and Ted Knight are trying to break it up in the ring, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
They just keep ringing the bell, and no one cares.
No one.
Pandemonium. This is fantastic. This is a tag team match.
I have never seen anything like that. Somebody held upside down with a superplex.
Brady has got his hands on the championship belt, and he's absconding. He has left the ring. Brady is running away with the world's championship belt, ladies and gentlemen. And Stashberg is in there with the two of them.
Do you realize what this could be setting up?
What is happening,
sir? The most wanted match in every magazine, at least the PAWI readers, all they want to see is Ingles versus Brady. Finally. Already, I realize that probably is going to build up over time with the ratings and so forth, but it's already been talked about. I get fan letters. I'm just
Brady's returning. Brady is coming back with both Brady boys in tow, and they are coming to destroy Charlotte Ingles in the ring alone with the Black Magician. Yeah. The Black Magician and Charlotte Ingles are being attacked by the two Brady boys and their father.
There's paramedics out there.
Ladies and gentlemen, the match is
Keaton
over.
Keaton has to get on the stretcher.
They keep ringing the bell.
Very respectable of Keaton, but
I don't understand what's happening. I don't understand what's happening. Johnny Zero.
There's still smoke going out of Keaton's. They're beating up Keaton. They're beating up Ingles.
Initially, Keaton was holding his own, most definitely defending Ingles.
I don't know if that's.
And here's Neckbeard. Neckbeard is ferociously into the ring, clearing house.
Yes.
Clearing house as we speak.
They're running after Neckbeard. Neckbeard is there to save Ingles, but Ingles took a whipping by the. Is it now official that this is the BSC?
Excuse me?
Is this now the
Bloody Stash Clothing Company?
The Bloody Stash Crew, it sounds like to me.
Well, I cannot speak on that, sir.
This could be the
makings. Pandemonium in the ring, sir.
Well, I remember when Arn first coined the phrase Four Horsemen of Apocalypse.
They keep ringing the bell.
Interview.
All right. The dog has left the ring. It is now the two Brady boys being pummeled by the world champion, Charles Ingles, along with the Black Magician. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to stay here as long as we possibly can. I'm so sorry. Pandemonium is